Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Now, looking at this situation, Cape Town's no stranger when it comes to dealing with dry years. My understanding is they often do implement water restrictions when the dams are getting a little bit low until they're filled by the rain coming again. But with this really extreme drought, with this really, really big event, why have these efforts actually fallen short of averting or potentially averting this crisis?
It's a really good question. And the combination that I can see here in Australia that have contributed to this in Cape Town, Sean, are a few things. Number one, it is a 1-in-380-year drought. So this is well beyond living experience of dryness. It's incredibly dry. It's got the climate and rainfall somewhere between Adelaide and Alice Springs in an Australian context. But two big things are the population of Cape Town has pretty much doubled in the space of about 10 years. So it's now a city of 4 million, whereas it probably had a water system for 2. And why did it expand so quickly? South Africa has taken on a lot of refugees from other parts of Africa, and as well, Western Cape Province, where Cape Town is a really attractive place. So there's been a lot of migration within Africa. So that combination, and look, the last one, and a big one, is political stability. And here in Australia, we have, you know, we might have parties that squabble, but we've basically got a stable government. And, you know, the engineers and managers of the water supply here will be listened to, and there'll be investment. Over there, they haven't had that.
So 4 million people we're talking about in Cape Town right now. I understand if they have to turn the taps off, these 4 million residents will have to queue at one of 200 water collection points around the city for a 25-litre daily ration. Now, obviously, you're looking at 4 million people going to 200 different places in order to get this this liquid that is essential for human life, and there have been 4 risks identified: water shortages, sanitation failures, disease outbreaks, and the possibility of just full-blown anarchy. Is it possible we could see the situation worsen into a complete humanitarian crisis?
Yeah, look, I think you've described that really, really well. All those risks, this is an absolute unknown. I'm not aware of any other modern city that's suffering anything like this. And I just think for all of us, how could you possibly imagine a daily life where you have to queue for water and then carry 25 litres, that's 25 kilograms. Perhaps you've got a family of 3 or 4. That quickly becomes 100 kilograms of water. And if you don't have a car, a lot of people don't. There's communities on the outskirts of Cape Town. It's unthinkable. And yes, that last point of anarchy, this could be just what triggers it. I mean, I think if I was running out of water, I would get pretty damn desperate in a short period of time.
Absolutely. Looking at the situation, how it applies here in Australia, you've identified parallels between the situation in Cape Town with that of Perth over on the west coast of Australia, of course. What problems does Perth face in continuing to provide a reliable water supply to its residents?
Oh, that's right, Sean. And I think a lot of us in Australia don't appreciate what Perth has been through. Perth has had 50 years of, you know, for a water supply, sheer hell. Their inflows, so that's the rivers flowing into all of their 9 or so storage dams of Perth, they've dropped in flow, and it's progressively stepped down over 5 decades from 338 gigalitres a year on average, a gigalitre is a billion litres, to now it averages about 40. And, you know, a recent year, 2015, it was 12 gigalitres. And at that rate, At 12 gigalitres a year, that would equate to roughly 15 litres per person per day in Perth. Yet the reality is Perth actually consumes more per person per day. It's about 350. And that is because desalination and extraction of groundwater and recycling has filled up that gap. But whereas here on the East Coast, Sydney, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Melbourne, to a lesser extent Adelaide, we rely on surface water. Perth doesn't now.
I find that quite interesting, the mention of desalination there. Obviously, as we mentioned, this Cape Town situation, it's a world first in terms of a modern city suddenly losing its water supply situation. Very scary. I'm definitely feeling for the people of Cape Town, as they are. I'm sure they're very concerned about their immediate future. But looking at the situation here in Australia, are there lessons to be learnt for our own policymakers?
Yeah, look, it is a good point, and I think there are lessons to be learnt. I'd say in many ways, to be honest, we're really lucky with the water authorities we have around Australia and the capital cities. And as situations deteriorate, and let's just pick a relatively local example within New South Wales, Broken Hill. It is our largest city in the arid zone in New South Wales. They have constantly had water supply problems for decades. So right now, it's very controversial, but they're building a $500 million pipeline to extract water from the Murray River to send to Broken Hill. So, look, I'm quite critical of our water authorities, but I'd have to say they're very conservative. And when there's a flashing light, that is when the demand is up and the supply is down, they're looking over the horizon into the years ahead and they're acting. Because building a desalination plant, or God forbid it, a new dam, that can take 5 to 10 years to build up. So I'd have to say I think we're doing okay.
That is really excellent news. Ian, very scary situation. Really do appreciate your insight into it this morning.
Thanks for the interest and a pleasure to talk to you, Sean.